think I'm more of a torso guy. I mean, I got stubby little legs, so
we're the opposite. I got beautiful long legs, but I've got a I got a tiny torso, man. It's always been a struggle. It's like, man, look at that thing. Why is it so short?
Why is it so short?
Seriously, dude. I look crazy naked.
But I mean, I don't know if I'm happy or sad that I haven't seen that.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right. It feels right. Legendary. This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah. Down some rabbit holes with Turkmenistan. It's easy to get lost down in that rabbit hole because there'll be like these TikToks or Instagram reels where these guys are like, I'm going to the, you know, whatever it is, the hardest country to get into in the world other than North Korea. And it's like a guy just filming Turkmenistan and how you have all these massive hotels that are just like zero people there. And North Korea and Turkmenistan, fascinating stuff to see kind of like behind the scenes of those places.
What a start. What a start.
Well, the whole reason it came up was like, you know, it looks pretty dark where you're at. And it reminded me of a basement I was once in Turkmenistan.
there you go. there you go, Robert. Robert, you haven't played pickleball in a while.
That's not true. Okay.
In a tournament.
That is true.
Okay.
But I did play pickleball over this past weekend, Adam. I was in Ann Arbor, Michigan for the first time in my life.
Oh.
Little known fact, there's a direct flight from Jacksonville, Florida to Flint, Michigan.
Okay.
I don't know how they make money on that route, but they did it. Flint's. So I don't know a whole lot about Michigan other than my sister, little sister Laura. She lived in Traverse City for a while.
Okay.
But I have not – Michigan's a state where I have not spent a lot of time. But flew into Flint, went down to Ann Arbor, and with my good friends at Wolverine Pickleball, Christy and Leslie, I have truly never seen a facility that is booked from morning to evening, like fully. They have 12 courts indoors. They have a beach tennis court outside, some – like a few volleyball courts, full sand volleyball outside. They have bocce outside, cornhole, obviously.
Bocce.
They've got a pour my beer tap wall, you know, the self-serve tap wall.
I do.
I mean, those are fun. They've got Dreamland. Yeah. So same provider as Dreamland in terms of the self-serve. So I know pour my beer pretty well. I worked with them last year. Josh, the owner, is a friend of mine from past business life. And
who are you?
I've got a few lives I've lived, Adam.
I know it feels that way.
So went up there and did a little event for Wolverine Pickleball and Pour My Beer. We used the self-serve tap wall plenty. We did like a mixer challenge court, which was a lot of fun. We had mics going like this where my homie Willie Metro is his name. His name's William Metropolis, very Greek. He's 61, but looks 31. It's unbelievable, this guy. And he's just on the mic heckling the whole time. I'm playing some pickleball. Did a couple clinics.
That Mediterranean diet, man. That's the one right there.
Must be, because he looks absolutely incredible.
Well, that sounds like a lovely little situation that you're in, Robert. The only thing I know about Flint, Michigan, I know, didn't they have bad water from fracking?
Sounds like it. Yep.
I feel like I saw some documentary about that. And is it what's the big? Is that where Michigan State is?
No, that's East Lansing, Michigan.
East Lansing.
Ann Arbor's University of Michigan.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
The Big House, baby.
The Big House, baby. Gotcha. All right.
So that was that. I was on court for like 14 hours over 2 days, which is absolutely unheard of. I haven't been on court for that long ever.
So that's actually an interesting thing. So what? Say you are on the tourney grind, which you are, and you get 5 weeks off. Do you like not play at all for some small stretch at the beginning, or do you try to just kind of maybe take a day or two off or a couple days off and then kind of work back into drilling and playing and whatnot?
Honestly, Adam, that's proprietary information. I'm not at liberty to share what my training schedule is. Unique. It's unique to me. I would say it could try to be replicated, but it won't be successful for you because okay. I'm a one of one, Adam, in terms of my training regimen. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody else that's trying to be a pro or that is a pro. Just don't do what I do and you'll be fine. But my court time is pretty limited, Adam, and and I still go in pretty hot to these tournaments. I still go in feeling good, baby.
Well, I mean, if it's like riding a bike and your downy soft, you know, that's what it is. I mean,
that's right.
Some players need touches, some players don't. You know, that's how it goes.
Look, I need some good touches a couple of days leading up. I need some good games. But other than that, Adam, daddy's ready to rumble.
Right. Yeah. So when you're not getting that court time though, you're aggressively in the gym lifting.
Interval training,
deep cardio, those kind of things, right?
You know, those kinds of things. Let's go with those kinds of things. Yeah. Again, proprietary information. Not willing to disclose on this podcast publicly what I do and do not do to get in tip-top pickleball shape. But let's just say I'm aggressively doing or not doing stuff.
Okay, good. Okay, excellent. I have a little beef with you, Robert.
Okay.
I didn't notice that you were deep in the Twitter streets the last few days. What's going on? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, what's up, man? That you were hot there for about 7 to 10 days, maybe longer, and it kind of cooled off a little bit on Twitter. What's up?
I was on court for 14 hours over 2 days, and it's like, it was more taxing than a tournament, truly. Being on court a lot for me is tough because of the Crohn's and like if I'm on court and I'm actually like engaged and I was teaching, I taught a couple clinics. So I was like mentally super, super dialed in. And then playing a lot as well in terms of like the challenge court and having fun and running around and doing burts and, you know, just being silly out there. I was exhausted. I was spending good time with my homies at Pour My Beer and Wolverine. So I was being a real person in the real world, and I wasn't able to get too dialed on the old X platform. But don't worry, Adam, I'll be back coming in hot.
I know you will.
So I did see some stuff about how terrible the graphics are for the PPA video game.
I haven't even seen the game.
I've just seen like little screenshots of it and looks cool, but I haven't seen like, apparently they must've shown, dude, look at that little hair. Woo. I think they must've shown like a video of it and people are like, wow, that would be fun. Like who said it? I think Chris Callie, sorry, not sorry on the old X, I think said this would be good as like a arcade game, but it'll be an utter, I'll be kind. It won't work so well. As like a video game.
Okay. Are you okay? Okay. So I was checking to see if you were just supporting your mic or actually holding it. It looks like it's the latter.
Dude, look how odd my like hand looks, huh? Like,
yeah, it's
doesn't
yeah.
it look crazy? Look at that thing.
Yeah, it does.
Mad respect to you when you did that trip from the beach to home just to do the pod.
Uh-huh.
I am on the West Coast right now, and we usually record this baby at 8:30 Eastern. Which is 5:30. Obviously, I'm in San Diego right now. So, what time is it right now? 6:40.
Why are you in San Diego?
I'm playing a tournament this weekend.
Oh,
and going from Michigan, I don't want to go back to Florida and then come back. So I was just, you know, straight shot to San Diego. I'm staying at my buddy Sean's house here, Sean and Karen. They happened to, I missed them. They're actually in Charlotte and Greenville, South Carolina, and Asheville doing the, this is a buddy from college in Asheville. They're doing the rounds, visiting friends. So I'm at their place in San Diego. I'll be here probably till Wednesday, and then I'll go up and you know, get a couple of touches for Newport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot about old Newport Beach, man. And I'll tell you what, if you're not going to be playing your pickleball inside, Southern California is not a bad place, because San Clemente, my goodness, it was a vibe there with the 75 degrees and sunny every day, ridiculous
windy
crowds.
Or no?
A little breeze. There was some breeze. It was a pop up breeze, so it wasn't consistent. It would completely die down and then it would kick up for whatever amount of time. So there definitely was a bit of breeze, but other than that, pristine conditions.
It's nestled in that little. It's tucked away, nestled in the little hill, right? It's like,
yeah,
that's
amphitheater style.
That location, so cool. That has to be for the SoCal Hard Eights. That has to be your home facility. You got to claim it. Just go put up signage.
I think we're hub though.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, great for the hub, but I mean that facility.
That's a good
has
one.
Hard Eights all over it for me.
Yeah, it's a spot, man. I mean, yeah, the little like six cabanas up there. You got the VIP section, and then because it is down in the like amphitheater style, you have like basically a whole standing row on the complete outside of the top. So yep. I was pretty impressed. I was lucky enough to most of the time we're in the truck, but they had a little setup for us courtside. So that was fun. And you get some extra stuff when you're commentating, when you're out on court and you can see what's happening. So
stands were packed too. That was a sick crowd.
Oh yeah. I mean, just, it was great. It was great. Even the thoroughfares and walking in between courts and back by grandstand and everything, just packed everywhere. It was a slow build, and it was getting going like Thursday and Friday. It wasn't just Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, a lot of times you'll see on the streams, it's pretty barren on Wednesday, Thursdays, and even some Fridays, but pops off in the weekend. This was pretty consistent throughout.
Dog, you drop thoroughfare, you drop barren. And that's
pristine.
Just,
don't forget pristine. About pristine.
My God, dude, you just really did it in that little excerpt.
I'm working on the vocab because I have to say the exact same thing about the exact same people about the exact same sport for 20 hours per weekend. So I might as well mix up your words, right?
Yeah, pull out that thesaurus and just, you know,
thesaurus.
Hey, just let me try to talk. Just let it happen.
Yeah, you're jazzed up. You're about 9 out of 10 right now, maybe 9+ out of 10. Rob, I like what
and
I'm.
It's pre 7 a.m.
You're bringing.
You know what we got to do? We got to bring enthusiasm. So I was watching. Don't judge me, but I was watching Owning Manhattan. Do you know this show?
I do.
Ryan yeah. Serhant on Netflix, mm-hmm. And I liked one thing he said about sales. It's a transfer of enthusiasm from one person to the next, basically, right? So. That's what I'm trying to do for you, Adam, and hey. For all of our good friends listening.
No, that's enthusiasm is important. I'm an energy guy, whether I'm teaching or on the mic, you know. So sometimes, a lot of the time, I'm not really saying anything, but I'm saying it with enthusiasm and excitement, and I think that translates.
It matters. Mm-hmm. Speaking of enthusiasm, over the weekend, we did have a match as the IFR team, Adam. We had an IFR pickleball match versus Eddie and Webby, but we didn't obviously have you, and we also didn't have Eddie.
Okay.
But we came out victorious, just to let you know. We did win. I didn't let you down. Ratings are stable. We're fine. Not dropping. But it was fun. We did. It was me and there's a couple local guys, Evan and Jake, that hopped in with us. And I played with Evan. Webby played with Jake, and they just got lit up.
They got lit up.
And Webby filmed everything. He filmed the clinics. So if you guys want to see this old guy in action teaching, my God, just hop on the Eddie and Webby YouTube channel.
Cue it up.
That thing's going to be on fire, baby.
Yeah, cue it up. Well, I played a decent amount of pickleball this weekend too. So I actually had a stretch of exercise in 4 out of 7 days.
That's
very good. Since the child has been born, that is the best stretch of exercise that I've had. Played back-to-back days, so we're getting this thing commentator ball going. Where we play after the 3-7 session, myself, Dave Fleming, Dylan Seeger, player liaison. I think he has a fancier title than player liaison, but we'll just call him that for now. And then
director of player personnel. Let's go with that one.
Good, good. And then we get a pro to come in. And so the first night we had Travis Rettenmeier. First night we had James Ignatowicz, and then the second night we had Travis Rettenmeier, and it's pretty fun. And the first
you guys rotate, or who plays with who?
Oh, it's a rotation. Yeah, okay. It's a rotation. But like the first night I played okay, but the second night I was struggling a little bit. And dude, James Ignatowicz hits the ball so hard, it's ridiculous. You know, I understand I'm a shell of my former playing self. That's fine, whatever, all good. But I mean, I'm just like tracking Dylan hit the ball, and then when I like square up to look across the net, I'm getting hit. I got hit like 5 times. I did catch Jimmy right in the gut once, so I got him back. Good. But I mean, tattoos everywhere, just calf, shoulder, gut, all over the place. BPJ, Big Papa Jimmy, was letting it fly in rec play.
He's got to hit the ball harder. He's got to hit the ball hardest on the men's side, right?
I think so. It was something. It was something to behold. And he's not big on the playing to his competition. It could be 3 fives. I've seen him playing rec with 3 fives.
No, he's going 10 out of 10 every time.
Yeah, he's thunder punching. He's 3-quarter arm slot slapping overheads, finishing the point. The whole 9 yards.
He does a lot of teaching, and he does a lot of 3-and-me's, and he needs to record all of them. I don't. Jimmy, if you're listening, get your boy Ryan to record all these guys. I need every 3-and-me because I did see some clips of him in New York at the Lifetime doing 3-and-me's, and he's birding. He's hitting these ladies in the chest. It's just, dude, it's all time. But I think that is the way to do it, I think. Yeah. Like, and I did that a little bit more like over the weekend of just like, don't just get into, unless they're like 80 years old.
Yeah.
Don't get into like the Dink rallies with them. Just light them up. Just show them what it's
all
about.
Just let them know. Let them know what it feels like to be on court with the pro. That's exactly right. And a shout out to the Rattlesnake. I'm a big fan of the Rattlesnake, dude. I like Travis. We had a good time out there. He's a straight shooter. You kind of know where you stand with that guy. And I enjoyed my time on court with him. And hopefully we get some more action going in Kansas City. Who Travis was playing with one.
Who was playing with me one.
No, incorrect, incorrect. The second night might be some of the worst pickleball that I've played in my since the first couple months of my career.
You gotta get that stuff out. That's gotta get that poison out of your body, you know?
Yeah, thank you.
And now
it's out. It's out. I hope it doesn't come back again. But it was good times.
Does this go into, I know obviously that when the MLP owners are doing this kind of stuff, there's a lot of money being thrown around. Are you guys betting on these games?
No betting. Just exercising.
I feel like when I retire, I will only play games for betting. Like I will only play for money.
I have a good body type to hustle.
You so, do. Like, you yeah, do. You like, go out to the local park, just like
I'm just I show just up in Crocs up, and 5'8", you know, put on about 25 pounds since I stopped playing.
You got to be a little heavier. You got to be heavier than you are now,
for
though.
Sure. You know, like wipe the sweat off my brow, show off the gut, you know, like these kind of things. I mean, I can make some real money doing this at a local park. And I tell you what, like, of course, the old schoolers know who I am. I've been around the scene for a while, but a lot of the newbies have no idea. So, I mean, they don't know who I am. They don't know that I used to play. Let's make some money, you know?
Yeah, they need to. That just means they're not watching the podcast, and they should be. And that's disappointing to hear. Yeah. But we need to shove this down their throat a little bit more, I guess.
Yeah. And you get, man, I'll tell you what, you get way more love when you're on site too as the commentator. Of course, no one's coming to the truck. No one sees anything. I mean, Dave and I were taking pictures and people were giving us shout outs and stuff all throughout. It was an extremely fun vibe. And just in general, not just talking about women, but the women and the men, the people, there's pretty people down in San Clemente. So everybody's just having a good time eating, drinking. Everybody, the dudes are all muscled up, you know. I mean, everybody's just having a good time, and it's a great place to be. Sunny and 75. Come on, man.
When you're in that weather all the time, it makes you want to be fit, right? Like if you're in cold weather, it's, you know, you're wearing big clothes, you're wrapped up. It's like, you know, in SoCal, the weather's nice, everybody's fit, everybody's out doing stuff. It's a little contagious.
That's right. Green juice and rainstorms. That's all they do. That's all they do down there. Green juice and rainstorms. That's all you need. That's all you need in life. But man, it was some good action too. There was quite a few storylines.
I think the podcast is making a difference.
In what?
I took a peek at the old results, and everybody's playing the bronze match, baby.
Everybody's playing the bronze, yeah. Look at you. I think that's directly related.
Direct correlation, sir.
Yes, we are
making a difference. We are doing the Lord's work, and you're welcome, fans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wanted to mention this, too. Even though you were not deep in the Twitter streets, I did catch a couple of Maggie Remenzi's tweets.
Oh, what'd she say?
I'm a little jealous of her. One, like, her baby started sleeping through the night at, like, month two, which is frustrating as someone whose baby does not do that. Number two is she's basically retired at this point with the being a full-time mother, and I think she has a job, too. But she just says whatever she wants to.
She's got, like, a real job.
Yeah, she just says whatever she wants to. And, you know,
we can't
quite do that. But something along the lines of must be frustrating for Ben to have these nice combinations and the nice digs just for Colin Johns to be standing straight up and miss a reset into the net.
Did he not play well? Did Colin not play well or what?
I wouldn't go that far. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it was his best performance either, but it was like a noticeable shift in strategy for both of them. Colin was speeding up off of the bounce at a much higher clip than he previous did.
Which is usually rare. And
Ben was going wild, like full on solo shake and bakes. And what he was doing is he was looking to bag. It's the first time that I've ever seen him like look to bag. So I guess it's probably just they're doing it to us. Let's kind of use that strategy and do it to them. So lots of high hard attacks. He wasn't even just rolling the backhand up the line. He was like pulling it cross court, trying to like body up the other left side player. So there was a variety of patterns and frequencies and shots that we have not seen from the Johns brothers in quite some time. So,
Adam, question for you.
Yes.
Hypothetical. I know you like hypotheticals.
I do.
Ben and Colin versus Ben and Anna Lee. Who wins?
Not Ben and Colin.
Easily?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say easily, but yeah.
Give me a score line.
What's the line on that one? Yeah, I mean, I think it's very
nine,
it's definitely 10? Reasonably close. I mean, I would say like a 6-8 situation, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so like a 14, like yeah. a 13-5, 13-5 right. line?
Yeah, something like that. But I think if they play that 20 times, I would be shocked if Annalie and
like
Ben 19 win
out of
20 more than
20
once,
out of 20.
Or once or twice. Yeah. More than once or twice. And, you know, maybe Annalie, like, I mean, shoot, Annalie's wild, man. It's pretty wild how good she is. And, I mean, she's finally completely screwed down 10-4 in mixed doubles to the Johnsons and just does like three turn her back whip through the zone attacks against JW. And she even said it in the interview, I just thought we were going to lose. So I just lit up JW and it worked, and they end up coming all the way back and winning one of the best finishes I've ever seen in pickleball. So, she's nuts. But I would have to give the edge to CJ and Ben definitely.
Before we get into the episode, we have to tell you about a must have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you're missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. Get exclusive early access to content you won't find anywhere else, like lessons, courses, podcasts, and much, much more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. Need more? How about a 24/7 live stream featuring new content daily? From gripping PPA tournament matches and live coverage of grandstand court to insightful player interviews, Selkirk TV has it all. You can dive into the action anytime, anywhere, If you're already watching this episode on the app, thank you. But if you aren't, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. Visit selkirk.com/TV to get it.
Yeah, and that's like, that's the one thing I have a hard time understanding how that works. It'll be like, the ball will be completely behind her. She'll take that like left foot back, pivot back to hit a backhand, like kind of turn her right shoulder. So it's like she's fully hiding it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then she'll just come through and rip a backhand. And like, we're talking, you would never teach this. You would never say this is like the right shot to hit. But she's able to put so much on it and put it in the right spot to where it somehow works. And every time she does it, I don't get it. But
yeah, no, and she really can go to all the spots. She can go completely inside out, middle, or pull it line. I think her favorite one is to pull it line. And that's the insane part. I mean, down 10-4 in game three, she's playing the right. She clearly has J.W. Johnson right in front of her. And she pulls it up his line three times and wins the point to J.W. Johnson's backhand. And that was, you know, that. It was basically those three shots paired with a handful of Georgia Johnson's soft errors, and then boom, 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 the match is over like 4 minutes later. Just a wild ending in that particular match. A wild ending in the Johns brothers and the Hayden Patrick and Pablo Tellez match. I mean, yeah. Super, super fun stuff this past weekend. Really, really nice score lines because, I mean, you get quality matches and they get, you know, be 11-4 in the third or whatever. But we got 14-12s and 13-11s and crazy comebacks. That's what really gets everybody amped up.
No, and it was high-quality stuff, too. Like, dude, Hayden Patrick, let's go, Big H.
Yeah, I mean, I said it. I mean, one of my favorite players, if not my favorite player, just from what he brings to the table on court. The flicks, the swag, the fact that he's a little guy, of course I love that. I mean, just the power and the spin that he creates, is his hand speed is insane too. So he's really fun extended firefights, like 10 total balls, 5 for each team, and just guys and gals just teeing off on this stuff. It was good.
It's the thing with him, man, like he's not tall, but it feels like at the kitchen line, I mean, I would say reach for like reach, his reach, like the ratio of his height to his reach is easily the best in pickleball. Like he makes the kitchen pretty small, even though he's not a big guy. But if you leave that thing up a little bit, he's able to get it out of the air. Like his reach is really, really good for his size.
Yeah, yeah, he must have a longer wingspan than height. But
we need to start measuring that too, right? Yeah, like, that's a thing that we should have. Like we should, I mean, that's a very important part is wingspan. That'd be really interesting to see for every player, right?
Yeah. And I actually mentioned something about this for Vivian Glossman.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, she like some of those reach ins, whether it's, you know, kind of rolling that forehand dink out of the air or putting pressure on the forehand side. And I made the reference to the, Victor Wembanyama guy from the San Antonio Spurs, because he's like 7'4", but he has like an 8'2" wingspan. So that is absolutely a huge deal, like a massive deal.
Height actually, let's think about that. Height actually doesn't matter. Like we think about height because usually that comes with a longer wingspan. But honestly, height's it's not necessarily like you want to call it 6 foot with 6'5" wingspan. Like you want want it because the dinks, if you're 6'4".
Yeah, no, definitely. And like you, there's even like, I mean, you could go even down more of a rabbit hole and like people with like longer torsos and smaller lower bodies, you know, like there's a lot of different variation. 100%. And that could be like a lower center of gravity situation. So you could actually be more balanced when you're reaching in. And I think I'm more of a torso guy. I mean, I got stubby little legs. So I
Dude,
mean,
we're the opposite. I got beautiful long legs, but I've got a I got a tiny torso, man. It's always
tiny torso.
It's always been a struggle. It's like, man, look at that thing. Why is it so short?
Why is it so short?
Seriously, dude. I look crazy naked.
But I mean, I don't know if I'm happy or sad that I haven't seen that, Robert. But I mean, really though, I mean, we're talking like pro pickleball. The parity is ridiculous. Everybody is good. Do you think having 3 or 4 more inches of wingspan isn't a big deal? You're insane. So maybe that is something that we maybe
we'll start eventually measuring, maybe
when we have those crazy stats, you know, 5 years from now and everything's all perfect with the percentages and everything. I think wingspan will be a big factor.
Agreed. And those guys with big torsos.
Okay. Back. We're going to go back to. I just want to talk a little bit more about the John's playing style and some of the matchups that happened. So yep. It really all started with Eric Roddy and Casey Diamond, who played a very good match against them in the round of 32. There was some high and hard going on from Roddy and Diamond, reaching in the kitchen, not really trying to keep the ball in the court on a variety of situations. There were some real frustrations from both John's eye. And then round of 16, you have Noe Cliff, who looked pretty good. Go ahead.
Just one note. Sorry to interrupt here.
No.
But on the Casey Diamond Roddy situation, I wasn't on Twitter. I wasn't deep in the Twitter streets, but I did see something pretty funny that I sent to Greg Dow last night, a little screenshot. And it was Brooks Jones on Twitter saying, is Casey Diamond a poor man's Greg Dow? Somebody answer me. Poor or something like that. Or like is Casey Diamond a broke ass version of Greg Dow? Basically, like something. And I was it's yes. Yes.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes.
That's all I had. Let's
well,
go.
Maybe in a month from now it'll be reversed. Mm-hmm. It'll be Greg Dow will be a broke Casey Diamond, possibly, who's pretty big. He's like 6'3". But anyway,
yeah.
He's got some nice extension from the kitchen. Ball was getting on the John's eye pretty quickly. And then they played Noe Cliff and Colin Schick, who smooth game one, but 12-10 in game two. And that Noe Cliff's pretty good. He's a smooth customer, super new from Dallas, about 25 years old. But the soft game is very competent very early.
Oh, that's good.
Which always gets me a little more excited than someone coming in just blasting away with good power stuff.
So, yeah.
And then, of course, in the quarterfinals against Hayden Patrickwin and Pablo Tejas, what a match. Completely insane. Pablo and Hayden, I believe, got up 10-5 in game three. John Zai came all the way back, and then just not quite enough as Patrickwin and Tejas. And I just love the celebration from Tejas, like, who knows, 9 probably losses pent up, and he just let it all out. He played great. He was dropping dimes on the third shot, creating a little havoc, running around the backhand of the kitchen line with that forehand. Probably over-earned a couple too many times, but big H, exact same situation. Hands were on point, winning exchanges. Just really fun, entertaining points, and yeah,
that's super cool for Pablo. You know, had to be, you know, Fed's his boy. They've played basically, you know, forever together, and you know, Pablo to come in and get a great result like that is yeah. I mean, you saw it come out, right? He was so stoked, and it was just great to see. And also, you know, it's cool to see that Fed and Pablo are both having success outside of each other, because Fed. And you know, Pablo is supporting Fed, and Fed was watching that match. And, you know, it's cool to see that they're still homies and supporting each other, even though they're not playing together. And they're both getting great results outside of playing together. So, it looks like it was probably the right move. Sometimes you just need to break it up and get some new blood and get some new energy going. And it seems to be working for both of them. So
it was early success for Fed. And of course, you know, everyone wants to overreact to that. Small sample size. No, phenomenal. Great job. Fed played great in those tournaments, but everyone was like, oh, Pablo's the weak link. And then just very next tournament, Pablo comes in and has a really good showing. So I agree completely with that. And good for him. Definitely. So, And Fed did not have his best tournament in either mixed or men's doubles, of course, always running to the finals and singles, it seems like. But Matt Wright and Fed went down pretty comfortably to Jack Monroe and Julian Arnold. Julian Arnold was actually playing controlled and a solid game, and not Fed or Matt's best day. And, you know, that's part of the deal when we're pickling.
But that was the thing, like with Jack and Julian, I was like, yeah, I mean, they had a couple early results that surprised me. I think they beat Todd Fote and Eric Pilette like 3-0, which I mean, those are two really, really good players.
That's exactly right. 0-3, yeah.
Crazy. And
Zane and Riley. I mean, that's a good win.
that's a great run. And you always know that with Julian being aggressive, like they're going to be able to pull off some upsets like that and pull off some good wins. But usually the issue is they'll pull out a good one and then, you know, that doesn't work in the next round because, you know, maintaining aggressive play is hard to maintain results. Great run. Jack Monroe, I think they got fourth, right? They lost in the bronze match.
They lost in the bronze match to Declan Tyson, who just continued to be very consistent.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to see. Yeah. It felt like both Declan Tyson have been trying to find out like what should their partnership situation be with other players, and they found each other, and I think it's a good match. Just the consistency of Tyson and the weapons of Deckles, I think they're always going to be in the mix, right?
Yeah, no, the results have been very, very solid. Haven't quite fully broken through, but yeah. I mean, beating good teams, running to the semifinals in the bronze medal match a lot, and I believe one or two little championship Sundays that they popped off. I also wanted to say this, Rob, about this particular match, is while Julian played very controlled in that Matt Wright Federico Stakrud match, he got a little out of control in the Hayden Pablo match.
Yeah.
And Julian was barking with Hayden and Pablo a lot. And I think he was doing it so much that it was affecting his focus. And it was also, I mentioned this on the broadcast, I was wondering how this was affecting Jack Monroe. Who, I mean, he's been in the sporting world. He's played pickleball for a long time.
A young guy.
Yeah, young guy, 20 years old. And like Julian, anytime something good happened, Julian's focus was across the net or to the crowd. And I don't think that he came together with Jack enough to kind of have that, you know, intensity and that partnership camaraderie and that can possibly leak over to the point play. So I think that's something to note as being a good partner. If that's your style, get locked into the opponents, whatever, but you have to give some love to your partner too. Make eye contact, have a good exchange, play a nice complimentary pickleball point, and then have that connection as you're going back to the baseline. I think it's very important.
Yeah, and I'll give a little behind the scenes here of what this looks like in terms of being a good partner and how that affects who you play with and who wants to play with you. So obviously Andre went to the PPA, so he jumped over. You know, we had planned to play together early this year, and then I got hurt, and then, you know, he bounced around a little bit with Tardio, and then Tardio went to the PPA, and then he was going to play with Jack Monroe. So I was like, okay, well, who am I going to – I want to have a consistent partner on this year, so who am I going to play with? And in New York, when I was playing with Richard Livernese, so young guy coming up next gen, excited to play with him. And he actually came to Tennessee to train a little bit the week before, and we felt pretty good. But at that tournament, Jack and Linda, his agent, like came up and they're like, hey, you know, if you want to play the rest of the year together, we can do that for all the APPs because Andre's going to the PPA. And I was like, okay, let's give me the weekend and then we'll figure it out. And then I played with Richard and we beat Casey Diamond and Philip Locklear, I think, in his gearbox in like the first round. And then we had a not so good loss to a team. It doesn't matter, but we had not a great result. And I would not say I was a great partner to Richard. I mean, he's like, He wouldn't say that, but, you know, I didn't feel like I was a good partner. I felt like I was frustrated at, you know, it's interesting because, like, I'll see on the court, like, in my head, I can visualize everything, the right shots that should be happening. And we have a strategy. And if that strategy is not being followed, I do get visibly frustrated. And that's something that I struggle with and I need to get better at. But Jack was watching that match. And then so we lost. And then after the fact, you know, I'm having a conversation with Jack. And this kind of goes to your Julian point of Jack's like, look, I need to make sure like that's not going to happen if we play together. Like, I'm going to need you to be really solid and supportive and that whole thing. Right. And it's like, yeah, that's absolutely fair. That makes sense. And I need to be. So yeah, I mean, he was even considering like not playing because of that energy on court and how I wasn't being a great partner to Richard. So that's absolutely something that players think about and talk about, you know, when you're looking at partnerships and who you're going to play with. But yeah, so I'm excited to play with Jack. You know, I'm not playing with him this weekend. I'm playing with Eric Pilette. I think Jack's playing with Andre Mick, but I'll play with Jack the rest of the year in the APPs and looking forward to it. And, you know, looking forward to being an adult and being a good partner, Adam.
Yeah,
but it's a big part of it.
Yeah, it's tough out there. I mean, it is. It's hard not to. And also something that does happen. Sure, you can be frustrated with the patterns in the situation or you know, no. I mean, you know when your partner's not playing his best. But sometimes what would happen to me, and I think probably the only time that I was maybe a questionable partner is when I was so frustrated with myself.
Yeah.
And that can. And I didn't relay that to my partner so it could look like I was frustrated with a point that we played or something that my partner did, but I was so annoyed with how bad I was playing. So communication is important. Yeah, you have to – these are the ebbs and flows and things that happen with tournament pickleball. And, you know, being a quality partner has always been important, but especially now that everyone's so good physically, you're not just going to – you know, you're not just going to dominate teams like you were able to do years ago. So I agree completely. It will constantly, it is, we've talked about it before, and it will constantly be something that we bring up because it is just so important.
And yeah, like you mentioned, like the margins are small, like the margins are shrinking every tournament. So all of these little nuances matter so much.
Okay. Let's move over to women's singles. Mm-hmm. Annalee Waters dominated. Okay, let's move to women's let's move to women's doubles. just insane, crazy score lines. And let's give a little shout out here to some veterans. We got Irina Tereshenko making the semifinals with Elise Jones, and not the only veteran, Jesse Irvin having a semifinal run with Tina Pisnik. So nice job. Love it when the old schoolers have nice runs, and it's been a couple tournaments or a few tournaments since that's happened for them to burst out into the semifinals. And semifinals of a PPA, you're doing something. So congrats to them. And of course, Annalee Waters and Catherine Parento. It's
Bruce just control, wild. Baby.
And it's not even, like I said, it's not just the wins. It's the score lines and the way they're getting it done. It's just insane. When I'm calling these matches, I don't have anything. Like I don't know what the other team should do. I don't have anything else good to say about Catherine and Annalee because I've said it all. It's over in 12 minutes, and they're beating incredibly good players with this kind of consistency and with this kind of ease. Just wild.
One thing that I respect with the Annalee, like even though they're dominating and like pretty much going in knowing or expecting to win every game they play, her and Catherine, Annalee will play the correct way, meaning they got down, I believe, 4-2 in a game. Annalee calls a timeout. They go back over and then regroup, and then they come out and just absolutely crush. And you don't see like Ben, he won't really call timeouts unless it's like a dire situation. Mm-hmm. And Annalee's very strategic on, like, you know, if there's two or three points that somebody runs off, timeout. And then it's always effective pretty much when she does it. So I like the fact that she doesn't have kind of that mindset of like, oh, I don't need to call timeouts, because timeouts are it's a key part of the game.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I just think her and Catherine go out there and let it fly. If they run into any form of adversity, they just go talk to Lee and Athena and have just a little brief.
And they just remind them how good they are. Like, Lee and Athena have to be like, guys, have you forgotten? Like, you don't lose. Like, you're going to go win. You're the best players in the world. Go back. And
yeah.
Then they're like, oh, yeah, okay. Good point.
And then here's a pretty dang good three-match stretch for Tina Pisnik and Jesse Irvin. And Tina Pisnik is, man, she is so smooth. Just a cool customer, has all the shots, hits it in the kitchen, just no wasted motion, really impressive. So they 12-10 in the third in the round of 30, or round of 16, rather, against Georgia Johnson and Mari Humbert. Then they take down the two seeds, Rora Bakker and Bright, and it wasn't even that close, 11-7, 11-7, and then end up beating Paris Todd and Hurricane Tyra Black, who I thought played really well. I know Paris did not play her best at the end of that match, but I think that they've been playing great as a team together. And Tyra, a couple holes that she's had, I feel like she's cleaned up. And she played awesome in all the matches that I called. But what a very nice three match run to make it the championship Sunday for Irvin and Pisnik.
Even with that slice forehand drive?
It's like, but what can you do with it? I mean, it's garbage, but what can you do with it, I believe was the line. So, and then Paris Todd and Tyra Black have a pretty comfortable win in bronze over Irina and Elise. So,
are they playing? Are they playing together full time?
Paris Todd and Black? They have been lately. So, I'm not sure if it's a rest of the year situation or not. But I think that they're going to be on court together quite a bit.
Did Paris play singles?
No, I don't think so. And Tyra, wait. No, Paris did play singles. She took a loss to Millie Rain.
Millie's sneaky good, dude. She's sneaky good at singles.
So Tyra has not been playing singles hardly at all. Just very few and far between.
Good for her.
Good for her. And I wanted to give one other shout out for women's doubles. I forget who it is. Oh, but we had Brooke Buckner and Zoe Wong with a very comfortable win over Lucy and Callie, who were the three seed. So that was a nice win for them in the round of 16 as a challenger player, and Brooke Buckner playing for the Columbus Sliders. That's a win against the three seed. You gotta show some respect there.
It's a big win. Another big win in women's, Adam, is the Indiana Fever taking down the Mercury yesterday. Caitlin Clark, you know, this game's been kind of built up for a while. It was, you know, there's a quote from Diana Taurasi with her talking to Scott Van Pelt about Caitlin coming into the league and what it's going to be like. And Taurasi famously said, you know, reality's coming, SVP or something like that. You know, it's different playing against these 18-year-olds versus playing against grown women that have been playing professional basketball for however long. And Caitlin comes into her house yesterday and just was one rebound away from being the first rookie in history to get a triple-double. And if she had teammates that could catch a basketball on these dimes that she's passing, she would have had 30 assists in that game. But God, she's just changing the game, dude. It's so fun to watch. And I see so many comments about people that don't watch NBA. They don't watch basketball, but they watch every single Fever game because they want to see Caitlin Clark play. I think I called this, Adam, on the podcast maybe a year ago, and it's happening. It's happening.
So the question is, in 1 year, will all pickleball be inside? Because that's your other call.
It won't be, because those in power like to scramble and have rain delays and like to have just they want the pain, I guess.
Hey, Robert, I hate to stop you because I know those are your two favorite.
I'm glad you stopped me because I was gonna.
Let's rock out this last.
Yes.
The San Clemente recap because I'm tired of looking down at my iPad here. So,
yes.
Let's go over two mixed doubles, Robert, and of course, Ben and Annalie won, but. Wild. We talked about it earlier. Yeah. Down 10-4. The whole shebang with the Johnsons. I hope that doesn't stick with Georgia. JW had to play men's later that day and played fine. Dylan played great too. But you know, that's one of those L's that can leak over for a couple weeks, especially against a team that you have lost to so many times, and you have that comfortable lead. So that is. That's a tough one. We'll just say that's a tough one.
That hurts.
And then really nice run from Christian Alshon and CP. So
they were on the ropes earlier on in the tournament, right?
Yeah. So they lost. They won 12-10 in the third against Dylan and Hurricane Tyra, which is clearly a very good
yes.
team.
Yes.
They beat Dekel and Tina Pisnik, which have very consistent results throughout the year. And they take down Hayden Patrickman and Vivian Glossman. And the first game was lopsided 11-3, but a very fun 14-12 in game two and that semifinal to move to Championship Sunday. So basically steamrolling very good teams or not steamrolling, beating very good teams were Christian Alshon and Catherine Parento. And then they lose 33-11 in Championship Sunday. So,
yeah.
And then... The Johnsons 1-1 over Glossman and Patrick Quinn in the bronze medal match. That's a pretty
respect for playing it though. Everybody's playing the bronze. Respect.
That's right.
Everybody's playing the bronze. It looks like Hayden and Vivian kind of threw in the towel. I don't know how motivated they were to grab that bronze, but I like the contrast of Hayden and Gloss. Just the Gloss size. Ball. It's so funny.
Oh yeah, I mean this is my whole mixed doubles career too. I played with Callie and a couple other. I was always shorter than my mixed partner, but it is hilarious. I mean, we're talking like 4 or 5 inches here.
Yeah,
for Glossman on the right. So
we got to give a shout out to Glossman because she had an okay year last year. She had fine results, but nothing to kind of think that she would be consistently looking at medals for on the PPA and looking at Championship Sunday, whether it's bronze or whether it's playing in the gold match. But and she took a big chunk off earlier this year trying to figure out what she was going to do contract wise, and she has come in and done fantastic, and I think exceeded most people's expectations, certainly mine. So big props to Vivian. She's playing fantastic.
Agree completely. Soft stuff let her down a little bit in the match with Catherine and Annalie when she was playing with Schneeman. But other than that, playing, I mean, very consistent, right? The size neutralizes a lot of those roll dinks that ladies like to hit. She's taking it out of the air. She has easy forehand power and really kind of her scrappiness, blockability, and midcourt game that you would think would maybe be lacking with a taller competitor is just fine. So I think that she has become very well rounded, where maybe in 2023 she was just a hitter. Now she's playing some pickle. So I agree completely. I expect her to continue to make some deep runs as long as she has quality partners by her side.
Yeah, she's got the size, man. She's got the size to really change the game in women's doubles. And you made a good point on taking those roll dinks out of the air because most of the time women are stepping off the line and letting those bounce and then rolling it back. But if you can hold the line, which you don't see a lot in women's doubles, actually, you don't see like women toeing the line and looking to reach in. But she's able to do it just with that length. And
if she finds a couple slippery or a little deceptive attacks on that forehand or a couple go-tos that she can create offense, that's going to be an issue for some of these ladies. And
agreed.
Yeah, I love her game. Okay, let's go. Last draw here is the men's singles. And we had old Tom Evans, the Australia guy, coming over and saying that people in the U.S. Play too much doubles. They don't hit the ball hard enough. And talking a little smack about the singles Fair. Play on court. And he ran through qualifying, had a nice win over Tyler Loom, got beat up by Fed Stakstrud, but that pretty much everyone gets beat up by Fed Stakstrud on the singles court. So, you know, nice little mini run for him. And a quality run also for Colin Schick, the doctor, my boy from North Carolina, who has not had the results he was hoping for the last handful of tournaments and singles. Here he gets a 12-10, 4-11, 12-10 win over Pablo Tellez, and then plays a very close match with Federico Stakstrud in the quarterfinals. So nice run for Colin Schick. Tyson McGuffin just continuing to win, continuing to make it to semifinals. He got beat up by Fed, but as I said, everyone gets beat up by Fed. And Rob, I'm going to tell you this right now. Chris Hayworth is a stud. I mean, clearly you beat Fed and Ben in a tournament. You're a stud. But I thought he was a stud before, and this just reaffirms. I think that it is very reasonable at the end. He's not going to get there in points, but at the end of 2024, that he is the best singles player and the most consistent singles player in all the land.
He hits the absolute ball. And he closes really well. His two-hander. I mean, he's hitting volleys from the kitchen line, taking absolutely full swings and hitting it cleanly. And yeah, he's very good. How's, like, one thing I don't know, I guess, with him, because how's his cat and mouse, or are you just not able to get into it really with him?
It doesn't matter. You don't. He almost like doesn't allow it to happen with his game style is what I would say. And of course,
like on a third, like, are you not the classic, what Ben does is just like, you know, hit that roll drop to the backhand side to try to get into it. Is that just not like, how's he neutralizing that?
His two-handed backhand is just too good.
Yeah.
It's like and the thing is he can release cross court or push it line almost seamlessly. So, So the reason why, and one of the, there's two main reasons why I think, or I made that statement that I made. One is his two-handed backhand is significantly better than Ben's or Fed's.
Yeah.
And he is longer. So he doesn't quite have the footwork, but he makes up for it in reach. And with his swinging volleys at the kitchen, his two-handed backhand from the anywhere on the court, and maybe we'll call it a good, not great forehand, like that is just a phenomenal skill set. And the reach paired with the two-handed backhand makes me think that he could be number one.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I think, and he's hungry, dude. You could see it. You could see it when he's winning these points. He is hungry. Oh, yeah. He's fired up. He wants it. It seems more than anybody else right now. Adam, I have a question. Like, there's one thing that we saw a lot of, and Memes of Pickleball did a little shtick on it, was the Johns looking and complaining about the ball, the bounces, visible frustration, the verbal frustration of saying this ball sucks. This is that to me, like, to me, that is like you got basically the face of your sport. Like,
finable.
That's what I'm saying. You got the face of the sport, like verbally assaulting your ball. That's like one of your biggest sponsors in terms of, you know, playing with it, like getting that ball to be the ball that's the official ball of the PPA Tour. And it's not been a one-time thing. It's been ongoing throughout the year. And yeah, the ball takes crazy bounces, but it's not just on Ben or on Colin. Sure. Like, everybody's playing with the same ball, and right, they're the only ones that are really just losing their mind over it. And it's, yeah, the ball is the same for everybody, right? It's like, it's not so, no, but is that... Is that a finable offense?
Well, it's probably not the best look. I'll definitely say that. I'm not sure about finable, but I think that there probably needs to be something generalized or some conversation had or some email sent that you have to be careful. I mean, we're on live stream. As you said, there's kind of a montage of it done by memes of pickleball. So there's lots of material. So it's not just necessarily a one-off thing or a extreme frustration because of this certain match in this certain moment. And I blamed it on the ball. It's fairly consistent. So I do think that that is a little dicey. And I don't know how it's going to be handled. The owner of
Vulcan's Vince, right?
Yeah, Vince.
So what do you?
I don't want to butcher it. It's like Signorelli. Signorelli. Yeah. Yeah.
If you're Vince right now, and you paid a boatload of money to be the official ball of the PPA Tour, and the PPA Tour's best player is just absolutely destroying it, you know,
not thrilled.
Like it's probably not great for sales. Let's just say
Not thrilled. Yeah, probably not thrilled. So I mean, I think that's probably. Yeah, that, I mean, that's probably the situation right there. And it seems to have a truer flight because there is Gen 2 than the Gen 1. But balls take funny bounces. And
it's a wiffle ball with holes.
It's not like that wasn't happening with the dirt. I have no idea the frequency or how often or whatever. I have no idea. But it's not like that wasn't happening with the Franklin or the Dura or whatever. You just get a skitter or you get one that doesn't come up, you know, and that's just how it goes. But definitely not the best look to have all the occurrences that Memes of Pickleball was able to put together. You know, it's probably not the best, but you know what is the best, Robert?
What's that?
Jeannie Bouchard taking out the net. Have you seen this?
Yeah, that's a first, right? I've never seen that happen.
Oh, it's so good. She just kind of like stubbed her toe, like going for a let cord off of the net. I mean, and just took it out, stepped on it, stomped on it, rolled it over. I mean, I lost complete control in the booth. I laughed for probably 2 or 3 minutes straight about that situation, and she handled it like a champ. She made fun of herself. She laughed. She didn't seem like she was embarrassed. It was the perfect situation and one of the better parts of the weekend, I thought.
And my favorite part of that clip was watching Anna Bright on the lower right part of your screen. She's just like,
oh no!
it was so good.
But like she knocked it over and then she lost her balance again and just kind of stomped on it. just absolutely amazing. You can't write that stuff.
So I would good. Say so. I did get a little bit in the Twitter streets, Adam. With I saw Jack. Jack made a comment or made a post on Twitter. Jack Sock about, you know, I see a lot of guys taking their hats off when they're shaking hands at the net now.
Yeah.
And I said, let's not make pickleball softer than it already is.
Yeah.
Let's come on, guys. This isn't golf. This isn't like let's make pickle weird. Let's get weird. I mean, we don't need to make this like a prim and proper country club sport. Let's just do it.
Let's do it.
What are your thoughts on it?
I could taking off of the hat.
Yeah, I don't, guys are doing it means, now, but
I don't know. It literally means nothing to me, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really have an opinion. If they want to take their hat off, fantastic. I have no problem with that. If they want to keep it on, they want to tap paddles, they don't want to tap paddles, I'm cool with all that, Rob.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
Hey, bring that baby over here. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Bring it. Bring that baby over here. Let's go.
AJ, is that your friend Robert?
Oh, my dude, his hair is so white. He is so adorable. My God, dude.
AJ, who is that guy?
He looks like a real little person.
Are you going to smile at Robert? Are you going to smile at Robert?
He's like, I'm terrified.
You going to smile at Robert?
This is my one time. He's like, who is this monster on the screen with the crazy looking hands holding this mic?
All right, you got 5 seconds to make him smile.
Let's go, baby. AJ, there we go.
Woo!
God, what an outfit! What an adorable little guy.
Oh yeah, he's got a giraffe stitched on the side of his shirt. I mean, that's too good.
What a boss!
All right. I mean, Rob,
we did it.
You made it happen. You got the kid to show off the pearly whites. He's only got 8 of them, but you got him to show them off. I think that is the perfect stopping point.
I've got to see that little guy in person soon.
Oh yeah. He's a champ. He's getting very vocal, and man, I leave for 5 days. He's literally twice as fast walking. It's unreal. He's a handful.
I think we have to do a maybe an in-person visit soon. Maybe I come see you and we record some pods in person or something, but we need to do this.
No, I like that. You got your whole room. You got your own bathroom. You got your whole floor.
I got my wing. I got the whole wing.
You got a whole wing at the house. You can come whenever you want to, Bubba.
Adam, I know I sent you a text about this, but hosting an It Feels Right podcast retreat in Bermuda. Oh, yeah. I've got them on board. I've talked to a resort. They've got pickleball courts. We've got I want to take a group of probably call it 16 people, and it's all inclusive. It includes breakfast and dinner. It'll include some excursions, going out on like a sunset cruise, doing some snorkeling. It'll be sick. Obviously, instruction, as much pickle as you want, but got to figure out the dates. It'll be later this year. You're going to come. We're going to make the dates work, and then we're going to all anybody listening that wants to go to Bermuda with us and play a little picky. Yeah, I said picky. I play picky. Come join. It's going to be a blast.
Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Let's make it happen. I like those things. I like all that stuff. Pretty water, snorkeling.
Right, baby.
If it feels right, it feels right.
It feels right to do a retreat. It feels right. Let's go. Okay, bye.